Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. The tax deadline is approaching. Take a small action for your future and talk to your financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Minister for Finance Michael McGrath has announced a total spending package of €14 billion in Budget 2024, including core spending and tax increases of €6.4 billion and once-off measures of €2.7 billion and non-core expenditure of €4.75 billion. Well, to discuss the detail of Budget 24, I'm joined from Leinster House by the Minister for Finance Michael McGrath. I know it's a really busy time for you, an intense period of negotiation, Minister. You're very welcome to the programme.
No problem at all. Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you. You're the first Minister for Finance in history, in the history of this state, to announce a package, I think, of nearly €14 billion. But you've left so many people underwhelmed. What do you say to them?
Well, I would strongly defend our budget. I think we had a balance to strike between providing support to people through the cost of living measures and the permanent measures in the budget, while at the same time not unduly adding to inflation, because we know it's high, but it's falling and it is hurting people. And it's, life has been really difficult for a lot of households over the last year and a half in particular. And I think when you look at the measures in the round, the one-off measures, the electricity credit, the welfare measures, the reductions in income tax, the reduction in the cost of various public services. We have balanced that with a very strong signal of support for the enterprise sector, where the future wave of new businesses will come from, and then also trying to provide for the needs of the future, and balancing all of that with investment in infrastructure, in housing, in healthcare, in education, and across the whole range of areas. So, you know, we are in a very uncertain world. The international economic environment has deteriorated. We're seeing, you know, conflict and geopolitical tensions boil over in different parts of the world. Mm-hmm. You know, Ireland is a very good country where I think in the main we have a very good quality of life. We have full employment. We have a strong economy. We have challenges, and we will work our way through those challenges.
And maybe this
and today's budget was designed to help.
Well, maybe it will add to the challenges, because you've overshot the mark, overshot limits, spending limits, despite the warnings from the Fiscal Advisory Council, despite the warnings from the ESRI, who said do not repeat the mistakes of the past. And I was reading that of a total package of €10 billion in the last number of days, today it's €14 billion odd. And this could add to inflation, Minister.
Well, first of all, I suspect that €10 billion figure always excluded what we call non-core, the cost of looking after people from Ukraine, the continuing costs associated with the legacy of COVID, and so on. I would strongly defend the budget. I think we have got the balance right overall. And while there will be those who will say that we've gone too far, there will be many others who say we haven't gone far enough. What I would point to, Cormac, is that from the beginning of last year to the end of next year, we anticipate that we will have combined surpluses of around €25 billion that we're not spending. And we are right not to spend that money now, because we are doing a lot on infrastructure. We're doing a lot across a whole range of different areas. We're setting up the Future Ireland Fund so that we can put excess volatile corporate tax receipts away for the future, because we know that there are very significant costs coming our way in the years ahead. And so it is prudent and sensible now to make provision for that. But
What about tackling some of the problems we have at the moment? Can you defend, for example, that the chunk of rental income that you're allowing landlords to take in tax-free, it's a waste of money, isn't it?
But we have a difficulty in the rental market in Ireland, Cormac. We've seen a very significant number of small landlords in particular with one or two properties leaving the market. We had almost 20,000 notices of termination served in the 12 months to the end of June. And in about 60% of cases, the reason offered was that the landlord was leaving the market. And then when I look at the number of people coming into the rental sector offering accommodation to tenants, I look at the bank data, for example, there were only 800 buy-to-let mortgages issued last year. So we have very few people coming in, offering, you know, one or two properties in towns and villages around Ireland. Mm-hmm. We know the need is growing.
Can I put this to you? If you could save all of this money, this tax relief for landlords, let them sell up, and then the state could buy that for social housing.
But we are already doing that at scale, where a landlord is leaving a market and the tenant qualifies for social housing. We have the tenant in situ scheme, and that is proven to be successful. But we have a lot of people in Ireland who are moving location because they're working, their job has moved, they need access to rental accommodation. And, you know, while it is absolutely right and proper that we stand up for tenants, we can have no tenant if there isn't a landlord. And we are lacking in accommodation being provided in the rental sector at the moment.
But I'll push you, if I may, once more on this, Minister, because it is a bone of contention among some people on our text line to 51551. We spoke with DNG, and Paul Murgatroyd says, in his opinion, it won't stop landlords leaving the market because it results in an increase of €50 a month to them.
Well, I mean, I would point to other provisions that we have in our taxation code, which are designed to support different public policy priorities. So we have rent-a-room relief, for example, where you could rent out any vacant bedrooms in your home and earn €14,000 completely tax-free at this point in time, because we recognise where there is under-occupancy, it makes sense for those rooms to be made available. So what we have done here is increased on a graduated basis over a number of years what the benefit is, but in return we require that the landlord will remain in the market and continue to make the property available. So that is the public policy objective here, is to make sure that there are homes for tenants in the years ahead.
Okay, and I know you were lobbied hard by landlords on that as well, and you've responded to their calls. Can I ask you about your scheme on mortgage interest relief? Now, we know, is it 10 ECB interest rate hikes in the last year or so? So people are being hammered by interest rates and their mortgages. Firstly, who's eligible here? It's for mortgages between 80,000 euro and 500,000 euro. Is that right?
That is correct, yes. So, and that mortgage balance would be as of the end of last year. And the reason that we have chosen to have a band like that, which is a very wide band, but it does introduce an element of targeting in the use of taxpayers' money. And then the relief will operate based on the increased interest that you actually paid in 2023 compared to what you paid in 2022. Relief will be at the standard rate of 20%, and the overall benefit then is subject to a cap
for
variable of €1,250.
And tracker as well?
For all types of mortgages, the test is did the amount of interest that you paid increase in 23 relative to 22? So there will be people in different circumstances. There will be people on a tracker right through that period. Some will have come off and fixed. Others will have gone on to a variable. Some people will have been on a fixed rate, come off a fixed rate. There'll be lots of different individual circumstances
But if you bought it just in 23, there's nothing in this for you.
So the basis is that you must have had the mortgage in place and have had a particular balance in the end of 2022. And I think that is only fair and appropriate.
Poor buyers in 23, though. I mean, they've been hammered as well, because the house that they could have bought maybe in 22 is a lot more expensive in 23 because of the interest rate hikes.
But rates started to go up in the middle of 2022. And what we are seeking to give recognition to here is the fact that for many, the amount that they paid in 2022 increased very significantly. It wouldn't be appropriate and it wouldn't be right for us to step in and completely cover the increased cost, because that would be directly in a substantial way offsetting the intent and the purpose of monetary policy. But this is a recognition that up to 20% of the increased cost that people are facing, we can make a contribution to. I think it is the right thing to do, and I think having an element of targeting means that people with, you know, very, very large mortgages, for example, are not in a position to benefit from it.
Okay. What's in your budget to end homelessness?
We have to continue to increase supply of all forms of housing. And of course, Minister O'Brien, his department will continue to work with all of the homeless service providers in Dublin and right across the country. But what the only way of resolving the issue of homelessness is to continue to provide more homes of all types and all types of tenure.
With respect, that's a really, at the very least, a medium term measure. Do you not have anything specifically in terms of increasing emergency accommodation for those 12,000 plus people who are homeless now, including 4,000 children?
Well, we will continue to provide the level of emergency accommodation that we need to meet the need that's there, but that's not the solution that anybody wants.
It's not happening either, is it?
Well, it is happening. Emergency accommodation is being made available. How come homelessness is increasing then? But people who are homeless and who are counted in those statistics are in emergency accommodation. You know, you may well be referring to Rough Sleepers, Cormac, and that's a different issue, a different set of circumstances. And
no, I'm sorry, just to be clear, sorry, to be fair to you, I'm referring to some counties that say they don't have enough emergency accommodation to meet the numbers that they're seeing, particularly around Dublin, but also in your own county of Cork as well. And Simon Communities, for example, said to us, this is the number of the rate of homelessness increase will continue because of this budget.
So I believe that the best way of addressing that issue is to continue not just to build more new homes, but also to tackle dereliction, vacancy, whether it be through the various grants that are there, the 50,000 for vacancy, the 70,000 to bring a derelict property back into use. I'm increasing the vacant homes tax in the budget as well, because we recognise from a public policy point of view, given the gravity of the housing challenge we face, it's not acceptable to just allow a property vacant now for a prolonged period of time. Mm-hmm.
What's in the budget to keep teachers and SNAs in our cities? They're leaving Dublin, for example, in their droves.
This is a challenge, not just in education, but in healthcare and across frontline services generally. That is why we have made the move, for example, to increase the rent tax credit for people who are in the private rental market. We've increased it by 50% to €750 for a couple. That's €1,500 of a tax credit. And I do believe the measure in the rental sector in terms of supply will also have a positive impact. Of course, we will have a new public service pay deal that I expect will be negotiated in the coming months.
OK, so watch this space, you say. David Cullinan of Sinn Féin says there's very little, if any, new money for mental health with the crisis in CAMHS that will now get worse. What's your reaction?
So Minister Butler will be laying out the full detail of the budget in relation to mental health, but there will be an increase in funding in mental health, and there will be an improvement in services, and she will provide the full detail. But in the broader health area, we are providing an overall budget of some €22.5 billion next year, which of course includes the provision for mental health. There are ongoing significant challenges when it comes to expenditure management in healthcare, but we are increasing the budget, and I know Minister Donoghue and Minister Donnelly and their officials are working through those challenges. There will be a need for a supplementary estimate in health later this year, but the exact amount of that has yet to be determined, and that work remains ongoing, but there will be further investment in mental health, and Minister Butler will lay out that detail.
The €1.4 billion overspend, we'll have to absorb that, will we?
So at this point in time, the amount of health expenditure to the end of September in excess of profile is of the order of €600 million. We still have 2.5 months go to the end of the year. It is too early to speculate on what the final figure may be in terms of health expenditure and what the overrun may be, but there is extensive work ongoing now between the Department of Public Expenditure and the Department of Health to assess the impact of that and to manage it going forward. Okay. But I would make the overall point, Cormac, that you know, we've recruited an extra 22,000 healthcare staff since 2020. We have to fund the retention of those people on an ongoing basis to continue to provide services. 2,500 extra beds in community care in our acute hospital system, and only in recent months the extension of GP cards to 6 and 7 year olds, the wider eligibility extension of GP care, the ending of hospital charges.
Notwithstanding all of that,
all of that has to be funded.
Notwithstanding
now,
all of that.
Basis.
Putting funding in place, recruitment and retention seems to be the problem, according to those working in the healthcare system. I have two more questions for you. The climate fund, the new infrastructure, climate and nature fund, how do you see that working?
So that's one of the two funds, and it's the smaller one. So we will be investing €2 billion a year from next year into the infrastructure, climate and nature fund until it reaches a level of €14 billion. The first purpose of that fund is to ensure that in the event of an economic downturn or a shock, that we don't get back to the boom-bust management of capital expenditure, and that we can invest through the cycle and make sure that the National Development Plan can continue to be rolled out. As part of that, we are providing over €3 billion then for climate, biodiversity and nature projects. And so in the coming years, if it is demonstrated that we are not on target to meet our climate targets, then there will be provision to access that amount of money within the fund over a number of years.
To buy some carbon credits, for example, is that right?
No, to invest in projects that will help us to accelerate decarbonisation. Okay. So to invest in capital projects in decarbonisation. Okay. And that is the essential purpose of that fund. But it is much smaller in scale to the overall Future Ireland Fund, which we believe can reach €100 billion at the midpoint of the next decade.
I know I need to let you go, but my final question to you is this. This is the first budget from a Fianna Fáil Minister for Finance since the late Brian Linehan all those years ago. And it was a very different budget then, as you well know. Let me ask you this, though, in terms of your party. Of all the measures that you've announced today, what's uniquely Fianna Fáil?
Look, I mean, there are three parties in the government, and I stood up today on behalf of the entire coalition. And of course, in the course of negotiations, there will be a different emphasis on different issues. When I look at the overall impact of this budget, and we've already carried out an early assessment in the department of both the one-off measures and the overall core budget, the distributional impact shows that this is a progressive budget. In other words, that those that need the most help, people on lower levels of income, benefit the most from this budget. So I think that is something that I believe is right, is appropriate,
but not very much speaks. Fianna Fáil.
Well, it speaks to the values of of our party, but it is a government. Okay. It is a budget on behalf of the three government parties.
I'm very grateful that you've come on the programme, and thank you very much indeed, Minister for Finance, Michael McGrath, Fianna Fáil. Thank you.